Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. You know, for some years now, Linda Lewis has served as our account executive for the Brain Massage Show. She is probably the most dynamic woman I've ever met, and although the entire time I've had the pleasure to know her and to work with her, she has been battling a variety of serious health issues. Nevertheless, she was a veritable dynamo. I mean, this woman had more energy and follow-through while battling having to be on dialysis, for example, among other things, than most women I've known who are fully healthy. Linda Lewis was a remarkable woman, and I'm going to miss her very, very much. She passed away, and we're going to have a memorial service in her honor February 18th at 4 p.m. here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'd like to encourage you to attend to pay respects to her memory and share your sympathies with the family. Her enthusiasm for the brain massage and her support and tireless efforts to promote this work will never be forgotten. She is a treasure, and her memory will live on in our hearts, to be sure. Our loss is heaven's gain. Now I would like to dedicate this show to Linda Lewis, account executive for the brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Everybody is talking about Obama's latest attack on faith. Remember a while back when he wanted to force people to provide and or participate in abortions contrary to their conscience? That is his agenda, you know, as part of the transformation that he envisions for America. Well, he had to back off that one. Now he has made a run at forcing private religion-based organizations, you know, like Catholic or Baptist hospitals, to provide contraceptives to employees. You know, the pill that kills and the condom that protects. Yeah. Protects whoremongers from spreading or contracting the diseases associated with their perverse lifestyle. Uh-huh. Or, oh yeah, and protects people from the life-threatening disease of pregnancy. You heard me right. Gwendolyn Moore, representing Wisconsin's 4th District, said, and I quote, "We must not allow the church to stand on its bully pulpit and separate women from critical and vital health care needs." She went on to say, quote, "The National Institute of Health has said it is a danger to women's health and safety of their families that for 30 years to be exposed to the prospects of pregnancy," end quote. Imagine that. I mean, who knew? For 30 years, women have been exposed to the prospects of pregnancy. My goodness. Is this woman a complete schlemiel? Women have been exposed to the prospects of pregnancy, Gwendolyn, since Adam and Eve figured out what God meant when he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Good night. I mean, you know what? It should be a law that all Democrats have to use a teleprompter when they talk. I know Perry sounded kind of dull sometimes, but the difference is that when these Democrats go unscripted, they don't just sound unintelligent or have difficulty coming up with a thought or words to express it. It's the very thoughts that they express clearly that betray them as woefully ignorant. Folks, I don't know what else to call it. I mean, does she actually believe women have only been exposed to the prospects of pregnancy for the last 30 years? Oh, what happened 30 years ago? That was what, 1972? I think I was married in 72. No, 73. I was married in 73. So good thing somebody figured out that women were exposed to pregnancy in 1972, because, you know, oh my goodness. For 30 years, she said. And by the way, listen, this is a major point for her. She declares this with emphasis. For 30 years. Listen.
That for 30 years to be exposed to the prospects of pregnancy.
But that's just the funny part of this nonsense. Let's talk about the serious part of it. Perhaps this is where the 30 years thing comes from. Because it just so happens that 30 years ago, we got Roe v. Wade declared law by fiat in the Supreme Court. What else could she be talking about? What else happened 30 years ago that could possibly have anything to do with the whole issue of birth control? 30 years ago, the Supreme Court of the United States invented a right to murder babies in the womb, you know, to declare the death penalty in all so-called unwanted babies. From the point of view of people like Representative Gwen of Wisconsin's 4th District, being, quote, exposed to pregnancy, end quote, a perfectly natural part of life, shall I say, a rather essential part of life, is a danger and a health risk. Can you believe this? Our country's losing its mind. Homosexuality, which we know is the most dangerous lifestyle anyone can choose, and is, by any normal reckoning, perverse and abnormal, and according to the Bible, by the way, and anyone else with sense, unnatural, is considered okay by these people. And it must be protected at all costs, and I mean at all costs. Pregnancy, on the other hand, which is totally natural, and in fact essential to the propagation of the species, hello, is called dangerous to the health and safety of women. I mean, this is so perverted, it's scary. It's like some twisted sort of Nazi logic, you know, cheapening life by categorizing a certain group as dangerous to society, a disease to the body politic. She views pregnancy as a dangerous thing, and she relates this attitude back to 30 years ago, and that would be to Roe. And in a weird sort of accidental genius, she is right on. For 30 years, this country has been moving in a direction that is perverting our sense of the value of life, perverting our most basic instinct to preserve life and to protect the most vulnerable and innocent among us, the baby. Obamacare includes pregnancy in the category of a disease, and that, my friends, betrays a diseased mind. Only a monster could support partial birth abortion. Come on, with the callous disregard for human life that Obama put on display when he was the only senator who refused to sign on to the Born Alive Protection Act. Only a hideous soul with malice against life, a cold and abstracted soul, could view a baby struggling for its life on a cold steel table as unworthy of our best efforts to help that baby in its struggle. Only a calloused and darkened soul could embrace the darkness of death so willingly and so fully. You think these things are not related? Well, they are. This whole business is the herald of the coming of death and hell. Oh yeah, the fourth horse rider of the apocalypse. Like Judah of old, some of you folks have chosen death rather than life. What's the matter for you? Talking about the absurdity of categorizing something so clearly and perfectly natural as pregnancy as a disease, you know, something to be loathed and protected against, while at the same time extolling the most unhealthy, disease-ridden lifestyle choice you could possibly make today, homosexuality. Get a load of this. Folks, they're about to categorize shyness and grieving as mental health diseases or disorders that require treatment. Oh, yeah. You know, while they have removed the unnatural, aberrant, and clear insanity of homosexuality from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, called DSM, they now want to add shyness and grieving as mental disorders. Yeah, so once again, something natural, like shyness in some personalities, and grieving. You know, as when someone you love dies, they want to categorize natural behaviors as mental disorders. And then they want to categorize unnatural behaviors as healthy. These people are upside down. They're backwards. They're inside out. It gets worse, however. You see, the newest release of the DSM, and that's the manual they use to diagnose mental disorders. In the newest version of the DSM, they are creating categories of mental health disorders that diagnose serial rapists as having the excuse of a mental disorder, so they can plead they are the victim of a mental disorder. And that's why they like to rape women. So, you know, wickedness, violence against innocent women, is a sickness now that should be treated at taxpayer expense. Oh yeah, homosexuality is a normal alternative lifestyle that, by the way, is exponentially increasing healthcare burdens on taxpayers under Obamacare, because his program will provide for all the diseases these people carry around with them and spread all over the place. And now shyness and grieving are going to be included in Obamacare programs, all paid for by you, the taxpayer. Now, they want to create a category of mental disorder called paraphilic coercive disorder. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's so those who are aroused by opportunities to coerce women sexually can be excused as doing so because they are mentally ill and need treatment, and of course at your expense. The taxpayer cannot continue to be called upon to pay for man's sinful nature. Come on! Now, I'm not the only one worried about this development, by the way. Listen to Alan Francis of Duke University. This is the man who oversaw the previous DSM revisions. Quote, Alan Francis, emeritus professor at Duke University and chair of the committee that oversaw the previous DSM revision, said the proposed DSM-5, the one that's recently been released, would, he said, quote, radically and recklessly expand the boundaries of psychiatry, end quote, and result in the, quote, the medicalization of normality, individual difference, and criminality, end quote. Yeah, he's right on here, yeah. Now, these people are very close to that profession, and they're becoming alarmed at how ludicrous it's all becoming. Here's Nick Craddock of Cardiff University's Department of Psychological Medicine and Neurology, saying, quote, whereas in previous editions, a person who had recently lost a loved one and was suffering low moods would be seen as experiencing a normal human reaction to bereavement. The new DSM criteria would ignore the death, look only at the symptoms, and class the person as having a depressive illness, end quote. Are you paying attention? Now get a load of this. They want to create a category of mental illness called oppositional defiant disorder. And the criteria for identifying, for example, a child with this mental defect is when he, quote, actively refuses to comply with majority's requests, end quote, and, quote, performs deliberate actions to annoy others, end quote. What? Has this guy ever worked? Have these people ever worked in a nursery? Unbelievable. This means every two-year-old you know is mentally ill. It means Obama's mentally ill, and the entire Democratic machine that pushed Obamacare down our throats against the majority is mentally ill. Now, seriously, this means the hierarchy of the GOP is mentally ill, refusing to heed the requests of the majority of us and quit pushing Romney on us. They can't seem to get the message. We want a conservative, okay? Oh, my, this is too good. However, you and I know this is nonsense and that this will never be applied in that way. Instead, they will apply it to those who refuse the so-called majority sensibilities of the progressive elite class in this country. They consider themselves the majority opinion. They do. Make no mistake about it. They are planning to deem you insane if you refuse to accept homosexual marriage, partial birth abortion, Obamacare, and Romney. Well, that might be going a bit too far, but think about it. I'll be right back.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Pastor Scheidbach is Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Keep the lights burning. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make a donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. It's a gourmet meal for the mind. Thought-provoking, insight-stimulating, worthy of your support. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com and donate today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about two, to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Linda Lewis has served as our account executive for the Brain Massage Show for, 4 or 5 years, something like that. She's one of the most dynamic people I've ever met. As I said, this girl could outdistance a 20-year-old in energetic, industrious work. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit. Let's say 25. All kidding aside, Linda Lewis was a remarkable woman, and I'm going to miss her very, very much. I look forward to seeing her in heaven. She has passed away. We will have a memorial service for Linda this coming Saturday, February 18th at 4 p.m. at the Lighthouse. And I would encourage you to attend to pay respects to her memory and share your sympathies with the family. Linda was leading an effort to expand the outreach of the brain massage when she passed away. Pray for us. It's going to be a challenge to find someone who can pick up where she left off and continue that effort. Her enthusiasm for the brain massage and her support and tireless efforts to promote this work will never be forgotten. She is a treasure, and her memory will live on in our hearts. Our loss is heaven's gain. Indeed, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints, but we sorrow. Happily, however, not as those who have no hope. We are sure going to miss her, though. Today's show is dedicated to the memory of Linda Lewis, account executive of the Brain Massage. As you know by now, the Ninth Circuit Court of, what is it Savage calls them? Schlemiels. Perfect. Well, the word means, it's Yiddish. And it's kind of an informal Hebrew word, and it means someone who is a bungler, a dolt, a brute, animal-like in their intelligence. Excuse me? What's Yiddish, you say? Oh, okay. Well, the word means Jewish, actually, from a German Juden. And it's a mixture of German dialects with Hebrew, usually some Slavic thrown in there, a few other languages mixed in. Anyway, like I said, it's a sort of informal or common Hebrew that developed among the Jews descending from the area of the Rhine. Ashkenaz Jews, they call them. Okay? Anyway, the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels. Thank you, Savage. has upheld homosexual activist Judge Walker's lower court ruling that the will of the people, you know, as in we the, is unconstitutional. Yeah, that our exercise of our constitutional powers, as defined and stipulated in our California Constitution, are abrogated by fiat of the court in favor of supporting the presumed right of a relatively small number of people to change the meaning of a word in our culture, to restructure the nucleus of society, the family, and force the people to accept a dramatic shift in its view of cultural norms. Let me explain. By the explain, that's how my friend Mike Metz would say it sometimes. Anyway, let me explain. For 6,000 years, 6,000 years, mankind has identified the joining of a man and a woman as marriage. At no time in all written history has there ever been a society that recognized homosexual unions as marriage. This is an entirely new development. Gwynn said, for 30 years, when I say, listen, for, and you know, as if 30 years was a span of time that gave great weight to her argument that for just too long women have been victimized by the prospect of pregnancy. Oh, wow. What a schlemiel. Well, hey, Gwen, for 6,000 years, mankind has identified the union of male and female as marriage. It's a 6,000-year-old usage, and now, suddenly, a relatively small group of perverted individuals want to force the rest of us to change our understanding of the meaning of that word and apply it to unions of same-sex partners. And the reason is they want to force society to accept them as normal. They want to normalize homosexuality in our culture. If you read the argument, essentially it says that unless we allow same-sex partners to use that word, marriage, well, they won't have equal standing in society. And they're talking about rights. It's no longer about rights. You know, rights to insurance, for example, or tax deductions or estate issues, all this kind of thing. Really, that never was a real issue. It was a red herring from the beginning. All that's been addressed by extending all of those things to domestic partnerships. Now, what they object to, however, is having their unions called domestic partnerships because, you see, they want to use the word marriage. Well, who's stopping them? But they want to make it a legal thing. See, they want legal sanction of their unions to be called marriage. It's not enough to get all the rights of marriages. They got to have that word. The reason they want their unions to be called marriage is because they want their unions to have the same social status as regular marriages, you know? The kind that follows the natural order. Yeah, the obviously normal union of opposites that the Creator designed into nature to propagate the species. Folks, we're opening Pandora's box here. Have you bothered to pay attention to their agenda? They have declared it. Yeah, they declare it right out loud in front of God and everybody. We're here, we're queer, and we want your children. You see, don't you understand? They intend to force society to recognize their perverse lifestyle as normal and natural. It's never going to happen. I mean, they're never going to be satisfied until they have trampled free speech into the dirt. You better not speak against homosexuality. You know, until they've trashed the doctrine of free association. I don't mean a biblical doctrine, although it is biblically rooted. But the concept that, you can associate with whom you will. No, they're going to require you to accept them in mainstream of your social lives or else face the consequences. They won't be satisfied till they thrash freedom of religion. You got to embrace homosexuality as legitimate and perform their weddings if they want you to. Yeah. Until they totally perverted the law so that people exercising their constitutional rights are denied those rights. I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, they have a right to change the meaning of a word. Give me a break. In their effort to force the people to accept homosexuality as normal, they're destroying the order of natural society and the order of our constitutional government. They need to back off. Let me give you a little prophecy here. Listen, the homosexual community is perverted at levels that reach the core of their soul. It's not going to stop at homosexual marriage. If you believe that, you've been gwendolized. Anyway, if you think it's going to stop there, you're wrong. Why don't you see what is in front of you? When they march in the streets, there's NAMBLA right out there with them. And that's all about men and boys. Need I say more? You see the sadomasochist out there on full display. That's the strange and dark perversion of sexual energy into inflicting pain or receiving pain inflicted upon themselves. It's a distortion of everything natural. I mean, it's like a Picasso painting of sex. Unnatural, distorted, weird, very unhealthy, by the way. You're opening the doors to hell. I mean, really, you're opening the doors of hell to belch out all this perversity into our streets and violence. Listen, is very much a part of that culture. Good night. Of course, it's all hidden, carefully hidden from public view. But the violence in that culture is characteristic of that culture. Now, here's my prophecy for you, America. You go ahead down this path of yielding to the demands of the homosexual activists, and all you're going to do is encourage their anger. Yeah, you're not assuaging it. You're strengthening it. These are people who don't take restraints very well. They get outrageous. And when I say they, I'm speaking generalities. I know that there are exceptions here and there. But as a rule, they get outrageously angry if you deny them what they are demanding. If you yield to their demands, they demand more. And they demand it more loudly. It only escalates. All you're doing is escalating their anger, because they are not angry at people who consider them unnatural. They are angry against God and His order. It goes deeper than just, you know, frustration with their neighbors. They are angry at the bans and restraints of Christian mores. They are governed by a spirit of anarchy against the order of God's creation. And the more they are accommodated, the more accommodations they will demand. If we continue down this road before too long, you're going to be asked to change the way you view sex between adults and children. I'm telling you, you're going to be asked. Well, actually, they're going to demand that you change the way you view sex between man and beast. The homosexual agenda has always been pansexuality. Yeah, that's a fact. The point of the homosexual lifestyle is that no one has any right to tell you that any sexual act is wrong or deviant. Yeah, and it's not enough to say, well, whatever you do in your own bedroom is your business. Oh, no, no. As you have already witnessed, that's not enough for them. Once they got that firmly established, they moved it out of their bedrooms and into your living rooms via media and into your children's classrooms. Yeah, right now, the issue of pedophilia is waiting in the wings. Already we have judges, scores of them, by the way, who are soft on pedophilia crimes. Have you been watching that? Yeah, judges who are loath to drop the gavel and give stiff sentencing to pedophiles. Very sympathetic to them. Yeah, already some noises are being heard here and there, questioning whether pedophilia is really so bad as we have been led to believe for the last few hundred years. That's right. Pretty soon the DSM will declassify pedophilia, adult sexual attraction to children, as a mental disorder, and it will be considered normal, and from normal to healthy, and from healthy to desirable. And what else is waiting in the wings of the homosexual agenda? Look. You're seeing movies that depict sadomasochism as, you know, just a strange sort of fantasy fetish of some people, you know? Just sort of a weird thing. Like, some people like fruitcake. Yeah. Mark my words and remember what I've told you. When, in the years to come, you see these things develop. Unless we return to biblical-based morality with the barriers of sexual taboos that protect family, children, and women, we are going to disintegrate as a culture and descend into an outbreak of violence and oppression unlike anything you can imagine. Sodom, very specifically, is given to us in the Bible as a warning of this very thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, the Bible, remember, that's the book our founders quoted more often than any other single book. Yeah, that's the book that inspired the thinking of the fathers of our civil freedoms and liberties like John Locke, Montesquieu. The book that served as the basis of our culture and the laws that define and defend that culture. The Bible. It's a good book. You ought to read it. Anyway, in Jude, we're told that Sodom was given to us as a warning. And the insanity of encouraging sodomy in a civilization is illustrated in that story in the Bible. You know, the mob coming out in force to force homosexuality on people who objected to it. Yeah. Yeah. Did you know that? That's the theme of that story. Read it in Genesis chapter 18. The essential point of the story is that the Sodomites were not content until they could force their lifestyle on everyone in the city, and they were enraged that Lot would presume to restrain their sexual demands. And they were so enraged that Lot would attempt to, impose his morality on them. Read the story. That's what it's about. Yeah, that's exactly what they said. That's what pushed their button, man. That's what sent them over the edge. They were so enraged that Lot would be so arrogant as to suggest they not force their sodomy on the visitors in his home and do this thing, this evil thing, that they declared they were going to not only sodomize them, but everyone in the house. Yeah. You know, it happened that the visitors they wanted to force themselves upon were angels. These angels struck the mob with blindness. But these sodomites were so obsessed with their rage against the moral restraints of Lot's religious faith, they continued to pursue their objective even while blinded. Now, here's where you get a biblical illustration of the expression blind rage. Yeah. Look at the situation we're in today. The homosexual agenda began to demand acceptance in society, and not too long after that, HIV/AIDS began to plague their community. For a while, it was called the gay disease, gay something or other syndrome, they called it. I forget the exact designation. I don't want to take the time necessary to educate you younger ones who listen to me about this, but the fact is, when AIDS first made its appearance in the news here in the USA, it was wiping out the homosexual community. What did they do? Well, they went on an all-out campaign to demand society to normalize homosexuality. Can you believe it? Their lifestyle is killing them off, And what do? They demand we all accept that behavior as natural. Yeah. Well, it's not natural. And nothing they do is going to make normal people accept their behavior as natural. It's just not. I mean, visit a farm, friend. Some are going to pretend and go along with it in order to fit in. You know, I'm in with the in crowds, a lot of those high school kids still out there, in order to be considered with it, you know, or hip or whatever. But no normal person is ever going to look at homosexuality as a normal lifestyle choice. It's contrary to the propagation of the species, okay? It's contrary to the natural order. It's contrary to the laws of nature and of nature's God. It's never going to be normal. And all you're going to do by giving in to their demands is encourage them to make greater demands toward embracing perversity of all sorts and increase the volume of those demands. You know, at this point, I think it's going to take an act of God to turn this thing around. What a mess. But God has intervened in the past in situations like this. I just hope our nation will wake up before it's too late. And for their sake as well. I hope we don't have to degenerate to the point of Sodom before we finally get the wake-up call. Come on. Well, anyway, I intended to get into why I believe the economy is not going to be a winner for conservatives in the upcoming election, whether it improves or not. But I'm coming up on my time limit here. Lord willing, look, this is an important point. Obviously, the economy is an issue, and I'm not saying it should be ignored. But approaching this campaign simply from the point of view that this or that presidential candidate is the best choice for spurring the economy is a mistake. You need to connect the issue of the economy to the issue of freedom. You'll notice that Dems are attempting to connect the issue of the economy to the moral issue of justice. You're going to have to address it, friend, directly and candidly. I'm telling you, going for Romney because he has been a successful CEO and is best suited, therefore, to spur the economy is a mistake. You're laying down principled conservatism at the feet of mammon, and the Dems are going to beat you by connecting their approach to economic issues to the moral issue of justice. That's how they're getting away with this. Don't you understand that? Of course, it's a false connection. It's a lie. But you're going to have to address it. You can't ignore it. You cannot give them the moral high ground on this. You've got to make the case that economic justice requires economic freedom. And that economic freedom is the best way to guarantee economic prosperity and economic justice. Well, Lord willing, I'll do my show on that theme next week. Remember with us, my dear friend Linda Lewis, account executive for the Brain Massage Show. She's been promoted to heaven. We're all going to miss her very much. We will have her memorial this coming Saturday, the 18th at 4 p.m. at the Lighthouse. And all of you who support and enjoy the Brain Massage are invited to drop by and pay respects to her memory. She worked in the background. Probably only a very few of you ever met her or talked to her, but she's a champion, a great warrior for truth, and we will miss her. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know if you see that they are on. You call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And just say lights on and hang up if you're in a hurry, or say lights off and hang up if you're in a hurry. Lights on means you agree with me. Lights off means you don't. It's a free call to anyone within the continent of the United States. From outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website and clicking on the Contact Us button. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. Click on the Contact Us button. You can select lights on or lights off and then hit send or give me a note. I appreciate response from our listeners. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.